believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in the Upper Peninsula in Bruce Crossing, Michigan, and earned a BA in English Literature from Northern Michigan University. From 1992 to 94, she worked at Chrysler in their risk management department. She and Tim have five children, ages 32 to 19. The oldest, Morgan, has severe autism since 3 months old. She and Tim are the founders of Random Act of Kindness Michigan, and in 2023, she and Tim bought a home for Morgan. Her name, Lisa Codd. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to Lisa Codd, somebody that Pam and I have admired for 20-plus years.
Has it been that long? It is absolutely my pleasure to join you today.
Let's start by talking about you growing up in the UP, Bruce Crossing. Talk about Bruce Crossing, your mom and your dad.
Well, both of my grandparents were still there, so my father moved us from the large city of Marquette back to Bruce Crossing. And there were no jobs there, so he took over the local nine-hole golf course and that part of the Upper Peninsula's federal mail run, where we had a box truck and went to all these different little tiny post offices and collected the mail each night. That was his livelihood.
That's where Timmy learned to have a phony handicap at that little nine-hole course?
I probably caddied for him.
All right. What's the biggest thing you learned from Mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
Wow. That's a great answer. You know, my father was patient and he wasn't prone to lectures. So when he sat down and decided to say something to you, you could really hear it for the rest of your life. It was not verbose. It was not a lot of sentences. It was very direct and was always so invaluable. He's very wise and still so patient. And from my mother, she was loving and organized and didn't accept, you know, like moms that day, they just didn't accept anything but your best. So that's all we knew. Let's go. Let's get organized. Let's work hard.
Okay, this is only an hour show, so we can't talk about all the greatness of Tim Codd, but you've been together for decades.
We have.
Lisa, let's go back. You're 8 years old. Timmy is a high school senior.
Yes.
You're in love with him.
Well, I was...
Weren't there some kind of laws in the UP about that kind of stuff?
Well, they hide them. He was a friend of an older cousin, and I saw him at my uncle's house and made every excuse to be a visitor there after that.
8 years old, and what was he? He had 18. You're sending him love notes.
We were sneaky that way. I tried to see him, but one time he spoke to me, and I shook so hard and ended up sobbing and then avoided him for a year. But then I ran into him when I was 21, and I said, I know who you are. And I said, I had a crush on you for 2 years when I was in the second grade. And he said, you couldn't hang on? And we were engaged from the day that we re-met 6 months later. So.
Okay, you get married. You move down here.
Yes.
From 92 to 94, you're at Chrysler on contract, mm-hmm. working in their risk management department. Talk about that chapter of your life.
Well, I came out of college, and I had set up my degree in order to, at that point, pursue a law degree. So I went immediately into the insurance industry and ended up as a claims adjuster for then a brand new company called Progressive. And they were known for extremely detailed, very much instinctive, kind of cowboy adjusters. And I went through their programming and their training, which was strenuous. And I had a keen eye for interviews and injury evaluation. So I was hired from Progressive Insurance by a company, an insurance service called Gallagher Bassett. And they were a dedicated office for Chrysler.
And what were your dreams? What were your goals back then?
It's interesting. Now that I'm a mother of five grown children, I've often said that I don't know if I would like who I was if my original ambitions had been fulfilled. But from the first year of college as a freshman, I wanted to be an attorney, and not only that, but a litigator. So those were my original ambitions.
We're talking to Lisa Codd. Lisa, June 23rd, 1993. God blesses you and Tim with a daughter.
Yes.
Morgan. Your first child. At 3 months, she has a vaccination.
She did.
Take us from there.
Well, in those days, we didn't have any encouragement, and it wasn't a general practice to be a healthcare partner to your pediatrician. You were a good girl. You did what you were told, and you trusted. And that's just the way we functioned back then, or most of us. So we did get her series of shots, and I don't actually recall all of them that were given that day. But it was the next morning that she woke up, and there was a distinct asymmetry in her face. One side was scrunched completely up, and the other had fallen. And I didn't know what it was, and I brought her in to the doctor, and they equally indicated they weren't sure what had happened, but to keep an eye on it. So you know that I marched back in and got the six-month series 3 months later.
Continue.
It was the day after her 6 month. I think it may have been 2 days after, and we got her 6 month series. And that evening, she began a seizure. I'd never seen one. I didn't know what I was looking at originally. And we happened to be in Ann Arbor, right near Mott's Children's Hospital. So that was the emergency room that we entered. Thank God, because her seizure lasted 4 hours long, and she was introduced to the neurology team at Mott's.
It got so bad that there'd be 100 seizures in a day.
We had so many questions. We thought that she had a movement disorder because her head moved and jerked all the time. And so the university decided to put her into a video EEG where they put all the electrodes on her head, and then they also put a video camera on her to see how the seizure would manifest physically in her movements on video, and also, of course, look at how it manifested on the EEG. They were putting her through this testing in order to determine if she was a candidate for the epilepsy surgery. There were just a few locations in the country that were willing to do this, but they had to isolate the part of the brain from which the electrical misfire was originating. And at the end of that 24-hour period, they told me that she had had 937 seizure episodes, which were originating from so many parts of her brain that she wasn't a candidate. But obviously, it was the 937 episodes that I couldn't even comprehend.
We're talking to Lisa Codd, talking about Morgan specifically, Tim and Lisa's first daughter, now five children.
Yes.
32 to 19. We'll continue to talk about Morgan. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula. We're with Lisa Codd, mom of five, first child Morgan, 937 seizures in the first 3 years of her life. All right, she's 3 or 4 years old. She goes in a coma.
She does. She began to have a seizure, and we immediately went to the emergency room. And I knew the protocol for managing the length of that seizure was to immediately bolus her with anticonvulsant medications. But I had a fellow, as in capital F fellow, at the hospital. I'd rather not mention the hospital. And he put his hand up and he said, "Hold on, Mom, I'd like to watch this." And I said, "You don't have any idea what you're saying." you cannot watch this. We have to catch it before it gets legs. And we watched it. And 4.5 hours later, they stopped it through a multitude of methods. And I thought that we were in just for our regular stay. Maybe the next day or the following evening, she would come out of all of the medications and we would go home. But she didn't wake up. And for 7 days, she didn't wake up. And when I had gone in to see her, my husband and I were at a hotel right near, and saw bruising on her chest, it was at that point that they explained to me that they were rubbing her sternum to evaluate for brain damage. And I also realized that there was a lot of frenzy around reading her lab orders, and they let me know that as a result of all of the medications it took to stop the seizure, she was in organ failure, and they weren't certain they could turn it around. And I remember that night in the hotel room, I was laying in bed and it was dark and I was alone because Tim was taking his turn with her at the bedside. And I remember saying, God, if ever you're going to show me angels, I'm ready. I don't care how fearsome. I don't care how bright. I'm ready. I know they're here and I want to see them.
If there's a listener tonight, a mom, that says, I'm living a similar life, and Lisa, I can't do it anymore. I can't keep doing this. What do you say to that mom?
When we have children, parents are given this instinct that you just do what it takes. So when people are friendly and compassionate and they say, how do you do it? You recognize their kindness, but it's a really empty thought. Because no matter what your path is in parenting, doing whatever it takes is the gift that you get from God as a parent. You just do what it takes. The problem is, if you believe that your walk is like nobody else's in parenting, you will isolate yourself in that effort to do whatever it takes. So you convince yourself no one else is interested in hearing what you're going through. You convince yourself no one else can relate to what you're going through. And you believe what your eyes tell you. This is unique to you, and it's going to take all that you've got just to be a parent. To a well child or an ill child.
We're talking to Lisa Codd. Today, Tim and Lisa have Morgan 32, Casey 27, Lexi 25, Davis, a.k.a. T-Bone 21, and Tucker. Tough question. Lisa, why did you ever have a second child? So Morgan's 5, gone through hell, and you have Casey. Why?
We had come to a dead end with Morgan's care. We had tried everything, and we had heard all of their best advice. And so we did seek a second opinion, as any good parent would in a medical crisis. And we found one of the best in the Detroit area. And it took us some time to get into him, but I remember him coming into the waiting room and picking up Morgan's file, which he'd clearly already reviewed, and he looked at Tim and I before saying a single word. He said, we have a very sick child here. And of course, the two of you know that there will be no other children in this family because we don't know what is going on with this sick child. And I heard it. I didn't even look at Tim. And as we got in the car on the way home from that appointment, I took Tim's hand and I said, God is taking care of us. We will do as we are led.
We're talking to Lisa Codd, who today has 5 phenomenal children. All right? And they got together, Lisa, unbeknownst to you, and they wrote you a letter. I've asked Tim to read the letter.
Stop it.
Dear Mom, there are a thousand things that we could thank you for, and still it would never even scratch the surface. Over the last 32 years, you've poured your heart into raising five uniquely talented kids, and somehow you made it look effortless. Each of us have grown into a confident, caring adults, grounded in our faith, devoted to our work, and more importantly, to our families. That's no accident. It's because of you. You taught us the value of working hard and loving even harder. You showed us how to laugh through the chaos, to celebrate the small things, and to find joy in simply being together. Whether it was a birthday, a Hallmark holiday, or Stanley Cup finals, you always found a reason to gather us up and make memories. And because of all of that, we carry those traditions and joy into our own lives today. More than anything, you've shown us what strength really looks like. Through every challenge, you've never backed down. You led this family through hardships with grace, grit, and unwavering faith. You showed us that the Cods don't give up. We toughen up. We lean into each other, and fighting through it with the help of our Lord, that strength is woven into each of us because we saw it in you. You are and always have been the glue that holds this family together. You just raised us to love one another. You raised us to like one another, to be the best friends with our siblings, to treasure our time as a family, and to keep our bond strong no matter where life takes us. Mom of the Year doesn't even begin to describe what you mean to us. The sacrifices, the patience, the love, you've given it all, year after year, day after day. And because of that, we are who we are. So from all of us, thank you for everything. You've always been our greatest gift. Congratulations for Mom of the Year on Anything Is Possible. With God, you've earned that title every single day for the last 32 years. With all our love, your children, Morgan Schmorgan Puddin' and Pie, Casey Masako Tuchiro Cod, Lexi Lulu Bluey Buckle My Shoe Shoe, T-Bone, and Mootsy Moots. And they made sure that I said Kai Kai, Cookie, Nipple, also known as Nip, and Nugget. We love you.
That was Tim Cod reading the letter, with tears coming down his cheek. And we're with Lisa, with tears coming down the cheek. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Krasula. We're with Lisa Cod. And Timmy just read the beautiful letter from your five children. Lisa, what did you hear?
Well, as a mom, I guess I hear that they're tuning in to the things you would always pray for. I make a joke that when a mother has an infant and they lay that infant on the chest, and you're holding that infant. And I've asked my daughter, so what do you think the first feeling you feel is? And she said, love. I said, nope, guilt. Immediately you feel guilt, your mother. You feel guilty about something. And so to hear your children say those things about you, I mean, obviously I'm speechless. I ought to be.
Today you have four children doing phenomenally well. One daughter just had the experience of becoming a mom.
Yes, just a month ago.
And you have one angel. God works in strange ways. Lisa, whenever I've had somebody on the show that has a special needs child, they come to realize that child is their angel, their inspiration, their teacher, their gift from God, their hero. Why so?
Well, to reflect on my children who just wrote this letter, my speaking children, I've gotten compliments on the way that they conduct themselves or personality traits that they exhibited early on playgrounds and in classrooms and in locker rooms. It's a natural sense of seeing who needs a little more, sensing who's insecure, sensing injustice. They're natural advocates. They speak up for smaller people. They tune in. And I've had other moms ask me about these personality traits, and I said, oh, Tim and I didn't do that. That's all Morgan. That is all Morgan. Way back when I was in the second grade and Tim was a senior, God made sure that this mess began, where we would meet one another and we would come together. And when he realized we were serious about that coming together, he said, oh no, Morgan. He called up Morgan and he sent her down and said, you better go take care of this and direct this traffic for me.
All right. In a week, we celebrate Mother's Day.
Yes.
President Woodrow Wilson in 1914 made the official announcement proclaiming Mother's Day as a national holiday that would be held each year on the second Sunday of May. Webster defines mother as a woman who conceives, gives birth to, or raises and nurtures a child. I don't think that was a literature major for that one, okay? The whole world can mock you, cheat you, write you off, ignore you, but your mom will always be there for every one of us, for her children. Lisa, why?
Well, there's this old saying that you're not rearing children, you're rearing adults. And for all the ambition I had early on, coming out of college and heading into work, my actual job was to raise these adults. And the legacy I have is their kindness and their giving back. And when you see them becoming adults, there's absolutely nothing more enjoyable than watching them figure things out and, you know, find their own space in the world with confidence, with certainty, honestly, even better, with uncertainty, so that there is that moment where they may give you a call and say, what do you think of this? I mean, what better joy is that in our retirement years than to have our children who are fully capable reach out to us and ask us what we think of something? That's a gift.
There's a woman listening that's a career woman on the fast track. Motherhood is not for me, Lisa. I admire you. I admire you. Wow. But that's not for me. What do you say?
Honestly, at least she knows that. She knows at this point of her life, that's not for her. But I assure you that the gifts through the struggles of being a parent are bigger than all of us. They make us better people. And there's no way to explain that because it sounds too instructive and a little condescending. But ladies, you can change your mind every single day, multiple times a day.
Amen to that. Okay. A woman listening tonight that says, I would love to have children, but not in this crazy world we're in right now. The counter forces in raising children today, excess materialism, MTV, internet porn, the cell phones, peer pressure, the divisiveness in families. I don't want to have a child and raise a child in this crazy world today.
I believe with everything in my heart that that's what they thought in the 60s and the 50s and the 40s and the 30s. We forget that in the year 2025, we were being prepared for it in the year 2015. We always are growing as parents and as people to be capable of handling what this glorious world gives us. We should celebrate the progress and the change that happens. It doesn't mean that we need to be intimidated by it. You still have your whole heart, and those children believe what you're saying. If you say it to them sincerely, and if you apologize when you get it wrong.
The fantastic Father John Ricardo. He's got three little sentences that he says over and over. God is in control. Be not afraid. And you were born for this. God put each of us on earth right now in these crazy times to do a specific role. Okay, another minister, the late, great Robert Schuller, our power, Crystal Cathedral, once said, well, I think he said many times, the biggest thing that a dad can do for his children is to love their mom. Mm. Why?
It's easy to be children and look at your parents and feel where they get it wrong or they don't understand you. I know this to be true because I had parents, and that's what I thought. And I reflect back on what holds a family together, and that is in no small part real glue. Listen, going through parenting Morgan, there's been new light shed upon what very, very low-functioning autism looks like. It's horrifying to the onlooker, and it's equally horrifying to the family experiencing it. We just keep moving through it. But there are times that what mom does to make it through a day don't always look that fancy or that loving or that successful. It's an easy time for the kids to look at mom and say she's not doing it right. And it's at that time that my husband, shedding a different type of light on the struggles of our home, making it look like a glorious opportunity, not something that should be thought of as a struggle that day. I thank God every day for him, how on days where I was too tired, he sat down and spoke to our children about faith and about God's path. We have a saying in our home that if it was supposed to be different, it already would be. And I believe that completely.
We're talking to Lisa Codd. When we come back, we're going to ask her about 32-year-old Morgan today. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything Is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything Is Possible, and I'm Jack Crisula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble.
The great Ernie Harwell.
My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God.
And the voices of our generation.
I am reassured continuously that his unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis.
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything Is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything Is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club. He developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything is possible.
Spohom. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Lisa Codd, mom of six children, five that have grown up, and one, okay, that she's still praying for every moment of the day, Timmy. Seriously, in June of 23, you and Tim buy a house for Morgan. It's called the Taivas House, T-A-I-V-A-S. Please.
Well, we were looking for a place near home to create a home for Morgan. I had a very brave teacher of Morgan's look at me one day and say, "You are a wonderful, wonderful mother." And I knew the next part wasn't going to be good. And she said, "But you're being a neglectful guardian." Shocking. Technically, I wasn't even her guardian yet. I didn't know anything about the process of petitioning the court for guardianship of a now over 18-year-old girl. But she explained to me that my real job for someone with extraordinary needs like Morgan was to create a life for her that existed, she joked, if I didn't come home from Target one day. It can't rely on me, not my social support, not my financial support, not my managing of her life and her medicals. It had to be all on paper and all organized, so the most she would wonder if something happened to Tim or I is, where were we? Not what am I eating and how do I get my medication and where do I live? She explained to me the extreme trauma that comes to an adult with needs if suddenly the only life they knew is immediately gone. And she explained that I needed to introduce a self-sustaining life to Morgan well before I leave this earth. And about 10 years later, I started that process.
And now, Taivas. If you want to learn more, www.taivashouse, T-A-I-V-A-S, house.com. All right. Talk about the house.
Well, we stepped into this wonderful home. It met all my criteria on, you know, up to nature, private, neighbors a safe distance away so that Morgan and her housemates could prosper and enjoy their property. And it was already remodeled and ready for somebody to move in. Well, that's the first very, very hard part, is to find the home. And we were lucky enough to, I call it my lake house. Morgan's in my lake house. All of our funds for retirement lake house are in the Taivas house. And what a better place to be. The next big effort is in staffing it. And I was frozen. How do I move Morgan, who's not verbal and fully dependent and only knows one thing, to a new place to be dependent on others and yet thrive? I had to put her at the center of it. What would she want? What would she want? It was easy for me to wonder what I needed and what the rest of our family needed. But if I kept her at the center of what needed to be there, I realized what I needed were mothers. I needed mothers, and I didn't know how to find them. And one day, I was frustrated and scared, just exactly where I think Satan likes us, down in low vibrations of fear.
He's a depressor, a divider.
Oh, heaven's sake. And Tim went out the door to work, and I was sitting with my cup of coffee, and I said, "God, just tell me where to find these women." And just with this, like, distracting impulse, I opened my phone and I opened Facebook and I quickly closed it. And in my brain, I thought, I hate Facebook. And just like that, I realized the original origins of Facebook was social networking. It wasn't about arguing or buying things, or it was networking. And so I went through the years of the very rarely smiling photos of Morgan and pulled all the best photos of Morgan, and I built a Facebook post. And from my heart, I said, "Come help me do something that I don't know how to do. Come help me be brave about something I don't know how to be brave to do. Help me build something. Give me your ideas." And they came. And a year later, these original mothers are still with me. And one of the things that I did is when they would ask me how I wanted things done at the home, I said, "You tell me what you need to do what you would like to do with the home." I immediately made them the executives of this project and told them to tell me how to do it. And it empowered these women who had also done nothing else but be in their own homes and were looking and praying for a calling and a place. And they came and they did what they know how to do.
As our time winds down together, what's the biggest thing Morgan has taught you, Lisa, and your four other children and Tim?
Wow, that's a big one. I know, this is the truth. I'm not just making it a story. Her favorite song is Precious Jewels, and I will hear my children humming that. They've been inspired by Morgan without even understanding the places that she inspires them or when they evoke what they've learned from her. We joke that she cannot speak to humans, but that she still talks regularly to God. We've always led our children to understand that you all have to choose Christ for your salvation. You have to choose him. And Morgan has to do absolutely nothing. He did not give her to this world. Her salvation is assured. She has to do nothing to get back to him because she never left him. She's part of our Creator, just loaned to us to help us. When you get to heaven, you're going to see, you're going to know Jesus. You're going to know God. You're going to see what you're meant to see. But there's going to be this incredibly beautiful woman, and you won't know who she is, and she will just look at you and either shake her head slowly or smile and nod. And that's Morgan. She gave everything to you, all her gifts. She said, "Yeah, I'll take a pass. They can all have it this lifetime. I'll give it to them." And I said, "But she's giving it all to you. Don't waste a single gift. You got it all."
And when Lisa Cott gets in front of our Heavenly Lord someday and hears those, "Well done, good and faithful servant," he's going to say, "Lisa, you turned out even better than I thought you were going to turn out. Thanks for all you do. Keep up the great, great work." Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. Make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoho.